ask the Lord may be pleased to help me this afternoon. I'll direct you to a word in the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The 6th and 7th verses of chapter 4, the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How the Apostle Paul was graciously helped in writing to these various churches. For the most part, he was a means of the formation under God's blessing of those churches. And it's so evident that the dear man had a warm heart toward these dear people. Fruits of his labours. And how he sought to give that glory which is alone due to God for that great mercy. How he expresses his heartfelt desire for the best welfare of those to whom he writes. And so it was in the matter of this epistle to the Philippians. And he does express his heartfelt love and concern to them. And how he writes with that warmth of heart and thankfulness of God to God with regard to them. You'll notice the opening words of this epistle, he writes in this way. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes on to speak in this way. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ." So Paul expresses in this letter his heartfelt desires and prayers for the well-being of this church. No doubt the dear man would look back, as it were, in his mind, that time when he was graciously directed to Philippi. And you read in the Acts of the Apostles how that he and his fellow neighbour were particularly directed in this way, forbidden to go certain ways, as they intended to do, but directed in this way, and to this end, that the purpose of God with regard to certain that Philippi should be brought to pass, so that Paul would think of the time when he met with those women in prayer at the riverside, and how the Lord was pleased to bless his word and open the heart of Lydia to receive the gospel. The Lord opening her heart, and how she was effectually brought upon in that way, and brought forth fruits of repentance and faith and obedience. It must have encouraged the apostle as he thought of these things. Then at that same time, as you read in that same chapter with regard to the Philippian jailer, that Paul and Silas, although they'd been so harshly treated and were thrust into the prison, yet even there Paul and Silas saw the wonderful works of God in their deliverance and in the way in which the jailer was so graciously wrought upon by God's grace. And so you see in that chapter really two very different characters wrought upon by the grace of God and brought to know the blessings of God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the case of Lydia, it would appear that the Lord was pleased to deal with her in a very gentle manner, yet very effectual. The Philippian jailer knew something of the terrible things in righteousness, and yet both were blessed with the same saving knowledge of God's truth. And this united them, and it united others too. Together with the Apostle Paul and his fellow labourer, it was a means of binding together, as it were, in the bond of love and in the fellowship of the gospel, as Paul speaks of, as I read it to you a moment ago. As we come to this word, we find that he was graciously directed, as it were, to give this word of exhortation to these dear saints at Philippi. And you see it's applicable to them indeed, for they were subjects of God's saving grace, and although so different in their personalities, no doubt, yet there was that way in which they were so taught, and such will be taught by the Holy Spirit, to come into some knowledge of the truth, and so that these exhortations would be fitting in each case. And we remember too, realise too, that such exhortations are necessary for you and I to lay to heart in these days in which we live. So may the Lord help me for a little while then to, in just a simple way, to bring this word before you. And we have that first sentence, be careful for nothing. How we do need the Lord to give us a gracious understanding of this. Doesn't mean to be indifferent or careless, as it were, or as it were fatalistic, but is a warning against being over anxious. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ taught the people, as he alone could do in his day, with regard to over anxiety. And yet how easily we can become a prey to such a spirit. We may become, as it were, over-careful. Like it was with dear Martha, wasn't it? When the Lord Jesus Christ lovingly rebuked her on one occasion. Martha, Martha, he says, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And there are those things that may tend, perhaps sometimes, to so work upon our spirit that we may become, as it were, over-careful, over anxious, and to such an extent that we may forget there's one who reigns supreme and controls all matters. Be careful for nothing. And then there's the positive exhortation to be considered alongside this word, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How beautifully comprehensive this word is. Satan is a wily foe, and poor sinners who are taught to pray often have to prove this, because when they try to pray, he may try and stop up their path, as it were. He may come with his evening suggestions in various ways to, as it were, to hinder you in your approach unto God. But how this text, this exhortation, is such a comprehensive one, isn't it? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In everything. You see, Satan may come in various ways. He may even suggest that your case is too great, your sin is too much, it is so big. There can be no mercy for you. He may come that way. And then again, he may come with a temptation like this, that can it be that the Lord will take notice of such trivial things that you bring before him? Well, this exhortation is a good one to consider, because it stands over against all the temptations of the enemy, where it says everything. Yes, the great things, the vital things. Yes, and the smaller things. Everything. And we do need to lay to heart such a word as this, don't we? And let's remember too that this word is spoken to praying souls. They were poor sinners who had been taught to pray. They did know the throne of grace. Therefore, it's not strange language to them. They knew something of the exercise of prayer and supplication. But still, they needed this exhortation to lay to heart. And as it were, to be something to stay their minds. And again, still thinking of what we tried to consider this morning in waiting upon the Lord and to wait for his salvation in a prayerful way. So that to miss all the difficulties of the way and those things that may seem to be denials, delays may seem to be denials, and yet often is not so. But sometimes the Lord sees fit to so deal with his praying people that it is to, as it were, to give an edge to their prayer, to help them, to enable them, as it were, to more earnestly seek, to more earnestly wait upon him. Let's try and consider this statement here, prayer and supplication. What a wonderful thing prayer is. I fear often we do not value prayer and supplication as we should. And yet, as one has well put it in the hymn, prayer is a Christian's vital breath. Yes, indeed it is. One of those early fruit and effects of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a poor sinner. He brings them to the throne of grace. He teaches them to pray. Brings them into the experience of this in that measure he sees fit. And you can think of the Apostle Paul who wrote this epistle, and what is written concerning him in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and how it was made known to Ananias, who was to receive him as a brother. The Lord gave Ananias that information that he prayed. He said, "Behold, he prayeth." And one of the early evidences, you see, of work of grace being begun in the heart of that man, that Saul of Tarsus. He was such an enemy, such a cruel enemy to the church, such a destroyer, as it were. And yet God dealt with him, cut him down, struck him down, called him by his grace. Even if then he began to pray. Now, sometimes thought of this, because you see, Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He was a religious professor, and therefore he professed to pray. And yet it was when the Lord was pleased to deal with him, it was then he began to pray. For behold, he prayeth. He had to renounce all his former religion, all his former good works, yes, all his devotions. It all had to go, as it were, as worthless. He had to be brought down as a humbled sinner in the dust. Yes, needing God's mercy. Indeed, it's one of the only evidences, isn't it, of grace in the heart. Paul refers to the work of grace, as I read it in your hearing a few minutes ago, that good work within. And one of the fruits of that good work is prayer. Prayer. Yes, fainting souls taught to look to the Lord. What a provision the Lord has made with regard to prayer. And there's wonderful words before us in the Epistle to the Hebrews concerning that new and living way by Christ Jesus. The way of prayer. What a provision the Lord has made in this. There is such a thing as prayer, that there is a throne of grace. And so we have that word also, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The privilege and provision of prayer which God has granted. And although sometimes it may be with you, I may speak to some of you this afternoon, you've been perhaps sorely tried over your prayers. Perhaps sometimes you feel so, as it were, confused and hardly frame words together. Maybe perhaps like one has put it in the hymn, broken thought and language lying. And Satan may come with his evil insinuations with regard to this. But you see, what is prayer? For surely it is a living sigh from the heart of a newborn soul to heaven, to God. And the way of access by prayer through the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, when you think of the provision of prayer and the way to the mercy seat, the throne of grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One as well said in the hymn, I can have no access to God but through the merits of Christ's blood. We can have no access to a holy God by a poor sinner, because God is holy and we are sinners. And yet through the Lord Jesus Christ there is that way of access. And poor sinners, poor though they are, guilty though they are, unworthy though they are, may be favoured to realise there is a way of access to God. And a little God-given faith in the heart enables a poor sinner to plead what Christ has done. So then, even though there may be, as it were, those broken petitions and broken thoughts, yet deep down the heart are those desires, you see, which the Lord alone can satisfy. And that those desires ascend to heaven. You know, the publican's prayer ascended to heaven, didn't it? The Pharisee stood in the temple. He thought he could be quite a religious man as he stood before the Lord, as he thought, and all his profession of religion. But what was it? Think of how the dear Saviour describes his so-called prayer. There was not one request in it, was there? Because he didn't realise any need. All he could do was to parade his religion before men and before God. But the poor publican, you see, although he couldn't claim anything at all, he was but a poor, guilty sinner. And yet he was the one who knew something of the secret of prayer. And his heartfelt petition ascended to heaven. Yes, and the Lord answered it in an outstanding way. Notice how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the publican in contrast to the Pharisee. The Pharisee sought to justify himself. The poor publican had to confess his sin, realise he approached a holy God. The malady he felt within, the burden of it. And yet how the dear Saviour describes the blessing. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. You see, he was given grace to humble himself. And when we try to pray, it is well if we are helped to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And while there is the wonderful provision of prayer, and we are exhorted to come with boldness, yet with humility, Yes, with reverence and holy fear. Now we do need the Lord to exercise our hearts in that way. So then there's this prayer. Yes, and the provision the Lord has made in this, and so comprehensive, so that whatever the circumstance may be, you may be called to pass through, there's always the throne of grace, and there's this word of encouragement to lay your case at his feet. Yes, to bring all your wants and wishes to him, and be there those hard cases. What hard cases were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? Matters are altogether beyond the skill of human skill. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with them. And in those things recorded in the Gospels, we have that great truth brought before us that there's nothing too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with. However hard your case you may feel it to be, or perhaps the difficulties you may come into in life's pathway, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing's impossible with God. This the Lord Jesus Christ reminded his disciples, didn't he? When they said, who then can be saved? With men this is impossible, and it is impossible with regard as far as men are concerned, but with God all things are possible. And it's that dear Lord Jesus Christ himself, of whom we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, able to save to the uttermost. What encouragement then, yes, to call upon his name. And how sad it is at times, we have to confess this, there seems to be sometimes such a backwardness to pray. But when we're brought to consider matters aright, how we made to realise we do need that spirit of grace and of supplication to be poured upon us, for the Lord to give us the spirit of prayer, the breath of prayer. Well, these dear saints to whom the Apostle writes knew something of this. Yet he was graciously directed, you see, to give this word of exhortation, written in the first place to these Philippians, in part of the record of the word of God, yes, to be handed down as it were through the generations, so that in these days it is a word you and I do well to lay to heart. So whatever the cares may be, and there are the cares, there may be pressing cares. Sometimes the Lord sees fit to lead his dear people in that way. They have pressing cares, and yet not to be over anxious. But what a mercy if it is a means in God's hand of bringing you to the throne of grace. You see, sometimes it may well be, and it is so, we do need burdens. We need trials. We need those things that bring cares. But then we need to know and to realise where to take those burdens, where to cast these cares. Not to one another, but to the Lord. Prayer and supplication is to the Lord. Yes, it is to heaven. And what a mercy it is the Lord is that one who condescends to the prayers and supplications of his dear people. Dear Psalmist David sometime had a very encouraging realization of the Lord's mercy to him, and it warmed his heart. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. He's not turned away his mercy from me. How good it is when the Lord does condescend from time to time to hear your poor petitions and send some answer. Has it warmed your heart? And yet over against all this, all the times when there seems to be almost an aversion to prayer, and sometimes prayer seems to be but a burden and task, but then it brings home this truth, you see, We don't need the Lord to teach us how to pray, to deal with us, to bring us to the throne of grace. Although it may mean sometimes to lay burdens upon us, cares, yes, so that we are directed to cast those cares upon him. There's that great word, isn't there? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And what a care the Lord has exercised over his dear people. Yes, the weak ones, insignificant ones, those of you so unworthy. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. All the path of prayer, the provision of prayer. All for more grace to make, as it were, a profitable use of the provision the Lord has made. Not to neglect the throne of grace. But again, we have to realise this. We need the Lord to give us that spirit, to call upon his name, and to revive our hearts in that way, to revive that spirit of prayer in our hearts. Here is the word, though, but in everything. Yes, perhaps those strange things, those mysterious things, perhaps sometimes, in some cases, those unlooked for things. We have instances of this in the scripture, don't we, with regard to the way in which the dear saints of old had to walk. There were some unlooked for things coming to their experience and path. And so it is at times. But what a mercy if it has this effect. And these things to be sanctified and to bring a poor sinner yet to the mercy seat, the throne of grace. And you see, back in the Old Testament with regard to the mercy seat, we see how in those types and shadows of old, how clearly the way of access is set forth through blood, you see. The mercy seat was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. When the dear Lord Jesus Christ came, assumed our nature to suffer and to die upon the cross, to shed his precious blood, it was that makes a way to God. And as you seek to bring your cares to him and to come before him in prayer and supplication, you see, it is through the provision that the Lord has made whereby there can be prayer to heaven acceptable before a holy God from a poor sinner through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he is that one that stands between, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. With regard to prayer, when you think of the dear Lord Jesus Christ now as he's ascended on high, there he intercedes with the Father on the behalf of his dear people, with all that authority that belongs alone to him, as he pleads the full merit of his blood. There are hindrances to prayer, and we have to prove this, but there are many helps, many encouragements. How we do need grace to lay hold upon the truth of this. And that such a word as this might, as it were, sink deep into our hearts. But in everything by prayer and supplication. And we need to realise here how the word is so suitable, as it were, in the wording of it. We need to take notice of the words of the scripture, don't we? It's not needless repetition, is it, prayer and supplication? In one sense, it is one and the same thing. But on the other hand, we think of prayer and as appointed by God. And how the Lord has exhorted his dear people to gather together for prayer in a public way, to join in that exercise before God. And how sometimes the Lord is pleased to particularly bless the prayer meeting. I'm sure there have been times when you prove this yourselves. Yes, there are set times for prayer. Yes, in your private life. Yes, you begin the day. As you come to the close of the day, prayer. But in some sense, there's a distinction in the supplication. Surely this tends more to set forth those burstings forth of desires and cries for help. Yes, in perhaps particular instances and situations, supplication. When it would not be not possible, as it were, to assume an attitude, and right it is to assume a right attitude in prayer. We need to have a humble frame before God. Yes. But you see, we have the instances in the scripture, don't we? We think of dear Nehemiah in the court of the king, and how a question was put to him, he being a cupbearer, his face was mournful, his heart was sad, and he was questioned with regard to this. He stood in a very precarious position, really. But we read that this, that's how he prayed to the God of heaven. He prayed to the God of heaven. That was supplication, wasn't it? An urgent, fervent petition, as it were, at such a time as that. When all he could do, as it were, was lift up his heart to God in prayer, supplication. Those urgent petitions. I sometimes thought of the case of Joshua, you know, when he was in battle and in great trouble and great danger too, and really because of his folly in joining affinity with Ahab. He came into great trouble, and the enemies compassed him about, thinking it was Ahab. And we read this, and Joshua cried out. That was supplication, wasn't it? Yes. And what is more, the Lord helped him. What an encouragement, isn't it? When perhaps you may come into some pressing need, yes, quite briefly it may be as it comes. And yet you see the Lord regards those supplications, yes, those fervent cries to the Lord, as it were, for help. The Lord helped him. And the Lord does help these supplicating ones, these praying ones. He has appointed the path of prayer. And while the Lord does not depend, he doesn't depend upon our prayers, does he? No, nor the ability of our prayers, nor the eloquence of our prayers, nothing of that at all. But it's just this, so clear in the Word of God, the Lord has ordained this, dear people, to walk this path. Yes, the path of prayer, the path of supplication. And one has put it well in the hymn, really. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. How that works out, doesn't it, in the experience of God's praying people. There may be those matters which have come into your own experience, and you've had to come to the throne of grace with prayer, with supplication. And God has been pleased in mercy to appear, and you have obtained an answer. Yes, obtained an answer. But it does bring you to realise this is the way the Lord will have his people to go. You see, it does indicate, doesn't it, a path of dependence. And one lesson we have to learn, isn't it? A long, nice way. Yes. And that is dependence upon God. There's that dreadful spirit of independence in us by nature. But that has to be subdued, as it were. To be made to realise that. That's dependence upon the Lord. Yes. To lean upon him. Not to lean to our own understanding, or think we can stand in our own strength, because let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But a good place to be brought to, yes, is to be found in prayer and supplication before the Lord. It is a safe place. It's a profitable place. It is a humbling place. It's a place that redounds the glory of God. For his dear people, as poor needy sinners, to call upon his name. We have those beautiful words to encourage poor sinners. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. in everything by prayer and supplication. But this word is added with thanksgiving. Now what it becomes us, and may the Lord help us as we try to pray, that we may come humbly before him and to come confessing our sins, and we need to do this. And God grant us a heart to do it, real repentance and contrition of heart before God, to confess our sins, to acknowledge that we are sinners. But then there's this aspect of approaching unto God, and that is with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Paul reminds these dear people there are blessings to be thankful for. Thankful to God. Yes, and where can we begin with this? Well, how we should be thankful that there is a throne of grace. How we should be thankful there is a way of access to God. That poor sinners such as we can call upon his name. How we should be thankful for the throne of grace. For God's mercy. Yes, to be thankful for his long suffering towards us. His forbearance with us. Thankful for his sparing mercies. His providing mercies. Yes, and being upheld and protected along life's journey through life's changing scenes. These blessings call for thanksgiving. How we do need that spirit of humble gratitude to be granted to us. My mind goes to that record we have in the Gospels concerning those lepers who were cleansed, you know. 10 of them there were. But one Samaritan, when he saw that he was cleansed, he returned to give glory to God. And Jesus said, where are the 9? They're not found to give glory to God, save this stranger. What a lesson, yes, to learn. How forgetful we can be of God's mercies. Forget to be thankful for blessings, for answers to prayer. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So many are God's mercies. We're so unworthy, yet so dependent. Yes, for every breath that we draw. And those greater blessings of his grace, you see, we depend upon him for everything. Therefore, we need to live conscious of our need and realize we can only live as humble suppliants before him. And to be thankful that it is so. Thankful that there is a throne of grace. Thankful that the Lord does condescend, yes, to hear and answer prayers according to his sovereign will. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let your requests be made known unto God. Then this following verse was so beautiful, isn't it? The peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, if we're over careful, there can be no peace in the soul, can there? No quietness. Rather disturbance, anxiety. But here we see in this scripture how the Lord is pleased to lead his dear people in the path of prayer, to commit their way unto him, and this blessing in so doing. The peace of God. And that peace which is difficult to describe, isn't it? Past understanding. Oh, what how good it is to know just a little of it, perhaps for a few moments. Let down into your heart. As you've been helped to cast your care upon him, to commit your way unto God. And sometimes it's to be known, even the exercise of prayer before God. Yes, little this peace the Lord lets down into your heart. Even though perhaps as yet the prayer is not answered, but as you're helped to commit your way unto the Lord, so you can, as it were, humbly rest in him. And the Lord gives peace. Yes. It gives peace. But think of the mercy of it. There should be such a thing as the peace of God. Yes, let down into the hearts of poor sinners. Yes, who by nature were enemies to God, but now by his grace are subjects of his mercy. And there's this peace to be known. Yes, and even though it might be in a time of distress or anxiety, sometimes a little peace is let down into the soul as you help to lay the matter before the Lord. And to realise, as it were, you've gained his ear. And the hope and the expectation that the Lord will cause these things to work for good. And that you shall enter into the meaning of that precious word in the 8th of Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called of God, them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Work together, you see. And sometimes the Lord is pleased to deal with his dear people and bring them to the throne of his grace. And there are those things that work together. Not to distinguish one from the other, but to work together and for good. And there's this peace to be known. Yes, a resting in him, a resting in his faithfulness, his wondrous mercy, his wondrous ability, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here the Apostle Paul reminds us, the channel through which every blessing flows. You see, the prayer and the supplication is through Christ Jesus. There'd be no prayer if there was no mediator. And the blessings that come down from heaven to poor sinners in answer to their prayers, it is through Christ Jesus. And to know something of this peace. And that peace which is indeed an earnest of that heavenly peace. Where there be no more sorrow, no more cares, no more sufferings, no more temptations, but to know that peace to all eternity. Meanwhile, but you and I know something of what it is to realise, yes, a little of this peace as you may be able to commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And the word says, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen.
This afternoon by singing hymn number 1134. The tune is Teviot 731. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting souls set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. Hymn number 1134.
O Lord, do be pleased to mercifully forgive anything spoken amiss, and do bless thine own precious truth to our hearts. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest upon us and abide with us, and with the dear people of God everywhere, now and forever. Amen.